855-6672 or tweet into the show at 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Rich, we go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, joining us as he does every week from Nesson. It's our buddy Tom Caron. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, good, guys. How we doing?
Good. I'm sure you ran in the marathon, too, while you worked it, working and running it. I'm sure you did both, right?
No, I'd love to run it every year. I said, I got to work, you know. I got a game.
Could you finish one or what? Are you a runner or no?
Yeah, I've done a few halves. I've never done a whole. I don't really have the desire to do a full, but 13's enough.
Yeah, tell me about it. What is Marathon Monday? What's Patriots Day like in the city of Boston? Apart from the fact that the traffic is beyond a nightmare, I mean, what's the fun part about Patriots Day?
It's just people everywhere. I mean, it is a million people, you know, in and around the city. I mean, it stuns me that people can drink that early. But then I remember back when I was in college and we would go down and visit our friends down in Boston. And I used to drink that early. So there you go. I mean, it's just the atmosphere, especially if you get a day like yesterday. It was such a miserable March at the beginning of spring. You had just gray, freezing rain, it seemed like, every day. Yesterday felt like spring. The runners were coming through. The Red Sox won. Even though they lost, you had Celtics and Bruins playoffs going on. It's just, yesterday was one of those reminders why this is the best sports city in America. I mean, everything was going on right around you. You didn't have to leave.
No, not yet. The marathon going on. Of course, the Red Sox had to start their game at 11 a.m. You didn't want to hold the Patriots Super Bowl parade that day also? What's wrong?
The great thing is, every year it comes, and I always look at and try to talk to the new players on the team because they know it's on the schedule, but then, and if you look at the four games of the series, you had a night game Friday, 4 o'clock game Saturday, 1:30 game Sunday, and 11 a.m. Monday. These guys are used to playing at 7 o'clock every night, And so you get I got to be at the ballpark at 8 a.m.? What? It's not like anything else.
Yeah, and they realize especially yesterday is a one-shot deal. It looks like they settle into the 7:05 starts for a while now. But, yeah, you're right. I know it drives Pedroia and guys like that crazy. But
they've had 13 games. 9 of them have been day games. Far this year. So it's kind of amazing that they've only played back-to-back night games once so far this season.
I know. We've done like 3 shows in the last month because of those guys. So tell me about the Red Sox so far as you see it. I mean, surprises good and bad.
Well, the rotation's been worse than expected. And I know it's only, two and a half turns through. But you've had, 2 quality starts from the bottom 3 guys in the rotation. And that's not acceptable. And Porcello, one of the guys who's actually been pretty good for the most part, got absolutely lit up in his last start. This ERA, I think it's the starter's ERA, is 3rd worst in baseball right now, and this team is supposed to be built on its starting rotation. So, the biggest surprise to me is that the starting pitching outside of Chris Sale hasn't been as good as you'd think. Sale, on the other hand, is even better than I expected.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. It's starting to be like the old Pedro starts where you circle your calendar and start figuring out 5 days out. Because I'm telling you, this guy is fun to watch. There aren't many guys like him out there, striking out 10, 12 every time. He's not afraid to pitch on the inside half of the plate. Doesn't care if he hits somebody. I just love this guy. He's waiting for the ball on the mound when the catcher throws it back to him. He wants to get it. He wants to throw it. He works quick. He's everything you want in a starting pitcher. We laugh that I don't think he shook off Sandy Leon once the other day. And you want to give Leon credit for that because, he calls a great game. But on the other hand, when you're Chris Sale and you've got 3 pitchers and they're all great, then whatever. What do you want me to throw? I got it. Whatever you put down there, I got one of those and I can do it better than most.
So
of course he throws whatever they ask.
Absolutely. It was a gem to play that one. Hey, by the way, Mitch Moreland got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he has picked it up. He was about 2-3 games away from me to start yelling Big Poppy to come back, for crying out loud.
Well, I think I told you guys back at spring training that he was my pick to click this season.
Yep.
And he's got a great opposite field swing for Fenway Park. He's a doubles machine. And defensively, he won the Gold Glove last year. There was a play yesterday where Bogaerts went deep in the hole, just came up and just kind of lofted it to get it to bounce to him because he knew he was going to get it. He didn't waste time. trying to put a lot on the throw, which would have taken him longer. He just came up and sort of lopped it, let it bounce off the ground, and expected Moreland to scoop it up, which, of course, he did. So this was a great signing. You know, it's a one-year deal. They didn't spend a lot of money, and this guy's already been an important addition to this team.
Preseason, TC, I got to admit I was a little bit on Kimbrell's case. Okay, a lot bit on Kimbrell's case. I just remember a lot of blown saves, pretty much all on the road last year, and I just wasn't sure. I wasn't 100% sure he was going to be the closer that they could count on night after night. But, man, I stand corrected.
These last three appearances over the weekend, faced 12 batters, got them all, struck out 7 of them. Hit 100 miles an hour yesterday. And that curveball he throws right now is just darting in over the plate. He's got, right now, he is pitching as well as he has ever pitched in his life. And that's really saying something, because for the better part of 5 years, he was the best closer in the game. You weren't alone about the concerns, you know. He had the struggles at the end last year, didn't have a good spring training. And even the first couple appearances this year, he's putting a couple guys on base, it seemed, every time before he nailed it down. Whatever it is locked in right now. And if you talk to guys on this team, they'll tell you stories about, like, playing catch with him from 200 feet, you know, long toss. And they said the ball feels like it's still accelerating when it hits you. It's got late life, even at 200 feet. So this guy throws differently from anybody else out there. And when he's got command of it, which has been the issue, when he's not walking guys, he's almost impossible to hit.
You know, TC, you guys thought it was going to be the Orioles or the Blue Jays that were going to be the biggest competition. Look at the New York Yankees, 8 in a row. They're kind of they're gelling right now, baby.
I'm beating the Yankee Stadium. They're perfect at home. They've got the young guys are starting to produce. Sabathia's pitching like a young guy again. Pineda's maybe figured it out. Tanaka, after that first start, is locked back in. No surprise that the bullpen's been good. No surprise the young guys are getting it done. The big surprise there is the starters are pitching, and it's great because they come to town next week, and nothing better than when the Yankees and Red Sox are both playing good. That's good for baseball.
TC, we spent a lot of time, and of course everybody did, talking about Isaiah Thomas. I mean, can you ever recall an athlete playing under those kind of circumstances and playing so well?
No, it's you can't even imagine what was going through his head and his heart and how he was able to go out there and be the Celtics' best player. You know, Isaiah Thomas wasn't the problem Sunday night. The bench was the problem Sunday night. Kelly Olynyk was the problem Sunday night. The back end of that roster was the problem Sunday night. They got outplayed by the Bulls bench. I think it was a 16-point differential in bench production. You know, Isaiah Thomas gave you his heart and did everything he could possibly do. Unfortunately, the other guys weren't up to the task to meet him.
Does that mean it's a must-win then for game time? I mean, obviously you don't want to lose the first two, but I mean,
absolutely. You can't lose two at home. You go 0-2 at home and then go to Chicago, all they got to do is split there, and then you're up against the wall. So, I mean, it's never truly a must-win until you're facing elimination, but to me, for all intent and purpose, it's a must-win tonight.
Speaking of must-wins, black and gold, I mean, all that work to get back in at 3-0, and you hate to use the injury excuse, but I mean, when you've got Tommy Cross on that last goal, and you've got, I mean, I've literally never heard of like three guys that played last night, and I follow them pretty closely.
But I'm going to say this. I'm not blaming Tommy Cross for that last goal. How about Zdeno Chara on that shift change? I mean, that was horrific. And listen, I know how immense Chara has been as the captain of this team, but Tommy Cross all of a sudden out there trying to play it as a 2-on-1 because his other defensive partner bailed out and took a bad shift change. Tommy Cross is okay. He's your 10th defenseman on the depth chart, you know, and he's on the ice in overtime in a Stanley Cup playoff game. They've got four defensemen up on the ninth floor wearing suits and not wearing skates. You're going to be hard-pressed to do anything, but you know, when you say that, you turn around and say, you know, Marchand's been kind of non-existent. I don't think Bergeron's had a great series. Chara cost him game two with that delay of game penalty when he lofted it over the ice and then a bad shift change last night. So, you know, you can talk about the fact that they've had to go so deep on the depth chart with the injuries, but their best players haven't shown you as much as the Senators' best players have, right? And Bobby Ryan's been the best player on the ice, you know, and we don't have a guy who's matching that right now. So, you know, if they want to win this thing, they can't be thinking about the fact that they've got injuries. They need their best players to step up.
You know, TC, I want to ask you what happened after the game, but real quick, I just want to tell you this from our friend Field Yates of ESPN. According to him, the Patriots corner Malcolm Butler has signed his restricted free agent tender. A trade, though, is still on the table for him. So what do you think about that, and how's that going to end out?
Well, I have no idea how that's going to end up. I mean, I guess it's good news that he's signing, but, you know, you wait to see if they do have a deal in the works. We've been watching this one and honestly kind of fell off the radar there for a little while We've been waiting for deadlines to come. So, yeah, but, you know, obviously they're a better team if he comes back. I'd hate for them to lose him.
You know, at the end of the game, they were saying about the Bruin fans. I'm sorry, jumping back to that now. Oh, the trash is raining down. And then I saw that one guy. I don't believe he grabbed the stick to take it. I think the player was jabbing the stick up there because they were throwing stuff down at him. Either way, they made the Bruin fans look like a bunch of knuckleheads. I don't know if that was warranted.
Yeah, well, they do have a tendency to toss stuff when they lose in overtime. And it's not pretty. I've been there down in the lower bowl, and you start getting doused with beer from up above. That's not a lot of fun. You were better than that. You got to behave better than that. I mean, it sucks to lose. I understand that. But to have a little class, you got to, you know, put your beer down or chug it down, do what you got to do. Go out and screw. Do like I did at home, you know, you yell a bunch of obscenities out the window to get your neighbors upset. We're better than that. Come on.
Yeah. How frustrating is it, though, with winter sports teams getting into the playoffs, and I want to be delicate how I put this, but the Isaiah Thomas situation as the number one seed, and then the Bruins losing half their blue liners. It's just, I think, maybe they're a little frustrated right now down there in the hub.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. It's been a long time. It's been 4 years since you've had both teams in the playoffs. And, you know, I said at the beginning what Patriots Day is like. I mean, this is what it used to be like, right? You go to the marathon, you go to the baseball game in the morning, go to the Bruins game in the evening. It's Celtics Sunday night. That was the first of four straight nights of playoff action at the Garden, flip-flopping back and forth between basketball and hockey. You want this feeling to last. You want these games and these series to go beyond the first round. And I think, you know, listen, the Celtics, this is a colossal failure if they don't win this series. I mean, I don't want to, you know, the Isaiah Thomas situation notwithstanding, they may not be the best team in the East. You know, we know that Cleveland sort of jaked it at the end and rested guys. So maybe the Celtics aren't the best team in the East, but the Bulls are the worst playoff team in the East, okay? So, I mean, you should be winning this series. You should be taking this and moving on to the next round where the water gets a little deeper. And the Bruins, I mean, they, whatever reason, Ottawa's kind of had their number all year, right? I mean, they've won 8 out of 9,
yeah,
if you go back, against the Bruins this year, and they've had no problem winning in Boston. So I wasn't thrilled by this series to begin with. But I thought the Bruins could win it, and obviously they still can. But I think Rask needs to be a little better. I think the top players need to be a little bit better. And flip-flopping back to the Celtics, you know, you got to figure out a way to stop Jimmy Butler from being the best player on the floor.
He was by far and away
the best player on the floor Sunday night.
No, amen to that. No doubt about that. Enjoy the game tonight, TC. Always a pleasure. Love speaking to you, and we'll catch up with you next week, buddy.
Yeah, next week we'll be leading in the Red Sox Yankees. Good stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.